Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You could say this, get back up. Wipe the sadness off your face. Stop the tears. Just get back up and choose to rejoice. Now, I understand, you know, there can be a time to cry. There can be a time to weep. But you're going to have to get with the joy part if you really want to have the complete deliverance. If you want the manifestation of deliverance in your life, you're going to have to, you know, stop the crying about it. So, you know, eventually we're going to have to get up. And I'm not putting anybody down. I've been there, done that, you know, went through the whole box of hankies. But I'll tell you what, it didn't do me a bit of good. It really didn't. So, I mean, when it was all said and done, it didn't change anything. And when I got in the Word and I started looking at what God had provided and really some of the tweaks I needed to make and some of the things that I needed to do and this Bible study, you know, I remember, so, okay. And we're sharing from my heart along this line. That was when the change came. It wasn't the crying of it. It wasn't the complaining. It wasn't getting offended at somebody else because they caused the problem. None of that ever changed the situation of oppression coming against me, for instance, because it's a choice. You know, people can make changes and you can feel better about it. You can feel warm and fuzzy. But when it comes down to it, if you're yielding to oppression, we're really making a choice not to do the Word. So in that respect, no matter what somebody has done to us, no matter what somebody has said or we perceived, because many times it's just perception, it's not reality, and it's what the devil just talks in your ear about what somebody is saying or doing, because really, people aren't as interested in you as what you may think. And if they did say something about you, it's probably, they probably said 2,000 other things in the midst of it. And so yours was just a real small percentage. So if you just look at things that way, people really are not as concerned about me. But, you know, if they are concerning their day about me, I guess that's between them and God, right? I have better things to do than to concern myself with everybody else all day long. And if I'm spending time consumed thinking about somebody, there's an issue going on here. There's a problem. I'm taking the bait. So don't think about people. Don't think about things people have done wrong to you. Just bless them. If you have to, send them money. That always helps. I mean, you got to be kidding. This is a good pouting party that I'm having, Pastor Debbie, and this person did this. Just forgive them. Just forget about it. Just call them up and say, hey, bless you. You know. You know, we were getting bids, you know, we're getting the bids in the process, and somebody made it known to me that a particular company that was actually did something, not against the church, but anyway, we had to stand up for something that I was getting a bid from. I'm like, oh, thanks for letting me know, you know, but I still sent them the information, got the bids from them. I never brought it up. I don't care. You know, whatever. Amen. Hope you got that right with God. You know, you know, if they're a good company, they do a good job. I care less. If they bring it up, I'm like, dude, it's not an issue to me, okay? All right. Yeah, maybe I wouldn't say it that way, you understand, but okay. It's really not. So with that, sometimes we have to stand up for ourselves. We don't just sweep things under the carpet. We have to be stern at times. We have to let people know where we are. Like I had to tell somebody on the phone that was highballing me on a bid, need to come down some of that, you know. We got some competitive bids coming in. I just want to let you know. You know, you really need to come down. But I was nice enough to him. And, you know, I got quiet on the other end. I said, and thanks, I appreciate it. You know. So when you're nice to people, but you let them know where you are. And I told them, hey, we really like you, you know, and we want to do business with you. But, you know, this is where I am. In other words, you're not going to cheat me, okay? I got better sense than that. I've been around the block a few times, been to a few hay rides, you know. Like Dr. Jacob says, rejoice in the Lord always. And maybe that wasn't on their mind cheating me, so I could, you know, I'll change that. I'm sorry. Again, I'm going to believe the best of people. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So in that gentleness, really it means moderation, kindness, suitable, equitable, fair, mild, gentle. In other words, just, you know, walk in love with people. You don't have to be a doormat. You don't have to, you know, sometimes you have to love people from long distance. Understand. I'm not going to let somebody slap me around or, you know, say derogatory things. If you're in a situation at home around your children, such as like, okay, the buck stops here. Oh, you're going to treat me right. But at the same time, I'm not going to retaliate by throwing boiling water on you, even though I want to, okay, or something like that. Now, I will say, anybody charges me or tries to come after somebody, you know, if I had a child or try to hurt me, they're going to be hurting, okay? But at the same time, I've got big angels, so I didn't go out and buy a 45 or, you know, whatever. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Not that I'm against the Second Amendment. I'm all for it. Be anxious for nothing. This is one of those services, isn't it? If you can't have fun at church, you can. But being gentle, I'm reminded of my mom, and my mom might be watching tonight. She oftentimes does. And I'm reminded of recently she had to get a sewer problem fixed. And she has not been able to properly flush her toilet for 2 years now. So, you know, that gets old, all right? I'm just saying, I'm not going to give graphic detail on that, but it gets old. And anyway, it stinks. But, you know, she has a wonderful house and all, and so she knew I need to get this fixed. So they called them out, and then they found a break in the line. They fixed that, and that was, you know, her issue there. They had to fix that, right? But then the man was going to leave, and, no, we pressed the issue. No, you need to. They actually, we got a bid, you know, about a year ago, and they said it was farther down. He's like, oh, no, that's fine. I said, check it farther down. Yeah. Check it farther down.
Yeah.
And had to be very assertive about it. Check.
Right.
And he said, oh, but I had to ogged it. So they did. And sure enough, they found a break there.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that was a gas line break. So it was a gas company. And then they found another pipe within a pipe, right, which was a city issue.
Okay.
So so anyway, when it all was said and done,
yeah,
the arbitration over it that took too long while my mom's lawn sat, you know, full of dirt and all, they weren't going to pay for it when it was all said and done. Well, it's been over 10 years and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I was really pressing the issue. I'm like, Mom, give me the phone number, okay?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, it's fine. You know, how much was it? Is this? All right. I'm fine, and you know, but out of it, I got off the phone and I'm like, she's living in peace.
Yeah.
I understand you need, you know, stand up for yourself and that type of thing. Maybe I would have handled it differently, but she's at peace with her choice of how she handled it. And I'm blessed by that. And I actually called her back and I said, Mom, I'm sorry if I was, you know, pressing you, because you have in your heart what you need to do. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell you. I'm not trying to be your mama, okay? I mean, that's how I talk to her, right? And I said, as a matter of fact, it blessed me that you just stayed in peace over the whole situation. And really, they left her yard there for 2 weeks, and I'm still like, Mom, give me the number! And, oh, no, they're going to come back and fix it. All right. So I need to call her this week and see if the yard is still... But... At the same time, if she's watching this, you know, love you, Mom. She's probably laughing. But I just am blessed that she's not going to get out of peace about that. Oh, no. You know, and I'm blessed. I had the money to take care of it. And praise the Lord. So in that respect, and I wasn't going to get out of peace. I was just going to push the issue. You understand. But anyway, moving right along. Be anxious for nothing. And if somebody makes a choice that... No, yeah, I'm okay. I don't care that they did me wrong. I got better things to do in life or whatever. I need to move on or whatever. Then God's going to take care of them. And too many times we concern ourselves with other people's problems or try to push off on them what we think. But really, each person has to follow the peace of God for themselves. You understand? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We can concern ourselves with other people to the place that we try to make choices and decisions, and we just get out of peace. Do you understand that many people get sick because they are visiting sick relatives that won't go to church? They don't have a pastor, and yet they're taking care of them and doing all this. And the thing is, they're keeping themselves out from their supply and their connection. Now, nothing wrong with helping somebody. I understand that. But if somebody, you want me to help you move here. I mean, I'm not leaving my church. And there are things with parents and that we have to make choices and decisions. And I make sure that, you know, my mom's taken care of and this and that. But if it came to, that's the only way I could take care of somebody, you know, and God's told me to be here. Then I say, hey, Mom, you know, you come stay with us. You know, we'll take care of you and all. But we concern ourselves, and some people, they travel on the weekends, and they're taking care of Aunt Susie and Uncle Tom, and you don't see them, and then all of a sudden they get sick, and we get depleted, you know. Just because we're using our faith to take care of other people when really our faith is not working for them because they don't have a pastor. Many times they don't have a pastor. There's a certain amount of time you can help somebody. There's certain obligation. There's certain stewardship where, of course, you need to go help parents, whether they're long distance or what have you. But you have to use the wisdom of God and don't go against the witness of the Spirit. Like I was telling somebody on the phone today, I'll be in agreement that person has light and wisdom. I don't know where they stand on healing. I'm not sure. But you love somebody and you want them to choose, right? But you can't push it off on everybody. But you can certainly pray for light. You can pray for the wisdom of God. You can pray. You understand? I just had that in my heart to let you know that we cannot, you know, if we continue depleting ourselves and trying to use our faith and pushing our opinions off and really kind of putting our nose where it doesn't always belong. And sometimes people pull our nose into it. You understand? It will delete us. It will shipwreck our own faith. Well, that was all free. Go read the chapter on the authority of the believer in the faith book there. Read that. And read in the Divine Healing and Health, we have a chapter on authority as well. So read that and read it clear through the end part because it talks about your rights and privileges of using your faith for yourself and then also how you can use your faith for a certain period for somebody young in your own immediate family, for your department at church, these type of things. But then people try to go beyond that and especially trying to use our faith. They want somebody to be healed. You know, their desire and their heart is right in that. But then you can't push things off on somebody or you can't just continue to carry them if they will not come to church or they will not. You understand? You have to use wisdom in that. Well, that was all free. Okay. So be anxious for nothing. And I'm going to read the definition of that because it has to do, it says here, to seek to promote one's interest, caring or providing for, to be anxious, be troubled with cares, to care for, look out for a thing. So, but particularly that thing to seek to promote one's interest. And even when we, and I put down here, we don't need to promote our interest as God will promote us when we give it to him and confess that his plan comes to pass in our lives. But we don't need to push our opinions and our thoughts off on other people. We just simply say, God, would you have me to do in my own life, in my own choices, in my own decisions, and help me to be a blessing to my fellow man, you know, my local church, my pastor, my brothers and sisters in Christ, first and foremost, you know, and the people around me. Help me to be a blessing, but yet at the same time, not to get in anxiety about what others do, but make a choice myself to stir up the joy, make a choice myself to walk in love no matter how somebody treats me. And that's a challenge. I understand it challenges our faith, it challenges our flesh. But if we want to walk in the peace of God, because it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it can be a season in my life that's like the fullest, and you know, it seems like a time of lack of sleep and other things, but yet you can be in such peace because you're making choice, you're making right choices. And right choices are really, first and foremost, making sure that our fellowship with the Father is all good. Putting his word first, because, you know, I have to challenge myself in seasons. Don't start my day that way. Because if you start your day without fellowship with the Father, you'll come to 12 at midnight and it's like a slippery slope and you just fell off the end of it. To have the strength to, usually your flesh has complete control by the nighttime. You understand? I'm not talking about, I'm talking about like eating three pieces of pie when you know you should only have none. going out to have pizza to make yourself feel better. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that it's a slippery slope. You're just trying to do something that'll make you feel better. And really, all you need is just to spend more time in the Word. All you really need. And well, how do you know that, Pastor Debbie? How do I know that? I got Culver's down the street. I understand these things. Okay. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You know, if you're going to get a shake every night and that's trying to, and you're trying to fill a void, something's going on there. Something's going on. I know that's nobody in here, right? Okay. Moving right along. I won't even look up, okay? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever, and noble really is honorable, giving respect. We respect our Father by really putting him first in our lives. And let me tell you something. If you're not respecting him with putting him first in your life, it's not going to help to sit around and just cry about it. We just have to make the tweaks. And this is it. If you've been on that slope so long that you're finding it hard and you got so much condemnation you're dealing with, and sometimes you know you don't even want to come to church. I mean people they start on the first row and then you know that condemnation will take you into the last row and then you'll be out the door before too long. I respect somebody that, hey, they've been through difficult times. Maybe they've made some wrong choices, but they will come back and say, look, my way's not working. I respect that. And I respect somebody that in the midst of dealing with tough situations and knowing, okay, I'm not spending time with the Lord like I need to, but I'm going to make the change. And then the only way you can make the change is just start making the tweaks. I mean, just do something. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, I do that often. I'll just be praying in the Holy Ghost in the car. I'll be praying in the Holy Ghost when I'm showering. I turn on YouTube, Charles Capps, Dad Hagen. You know, I just, whatever it takes, I have to make sure I'm getting fed. And my authority, you know, it can get weak. So that's why I say Charles Capps, because I love his teaching on the authority of the believer. And I just make sure that I'm meditating on God's word, make sure I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And even in all of that, God will share with me, okay, you still need to make some tweaks here. You're not spending enough time with me when you get up in the morning. And I talk to my Father about that. And I get it right if I need to get it right. So, and I'm not, and sometimes, often, I've just got down on my knees and said, Lord, I know I can do better. I know you haven't given up on me. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for being merciful. Thank you for being compassionate. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father, because I don't want the consequence. And I care, but you know, I've said that to the Lord. I said, but you know, Lord, I care more about you. And I care more about my relationship with you. And I care more about not hurting you because I'm not spending time, you know. And then I care about my husband and wanting our house to be the right atmosphere. And really, it won't be if you're not spending enough time in his presence and putting his word first. I care about, yes, not having the consequence, because I know when I push myself and yield to, you know, sometimes sickness will come and then you're weak to stand against that. But God is merciful. Thank you, Lord. You're merciful. As a matter of fact, why'd you just stand up? Let's just thank him. He's merciful. Thank you, Lord. You're merciful. Thank you. You're compassionate. Oh, hallelujah. Merciful, compassionate, loving, kind, glorious. Oh, thank you, Lord, for mercy, for compassion, for your loving kindness. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Okay. We're done now. Sit back down. All right. Thank you. And then you just... Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. Yeah. So and you just yield to joy, you know? So it says, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble or honorable, respectful, and that really, that comes to putting him first, being honorable to the Lord first and foremost, and being honorable to his word. And Pastor Debbie, that just brings condemnation. I mean, that's just listening to the devil. The word does not bring condemnation on you. It will bring conviction, and that's a good thing. And when conviction comes, what do? Just get on your knees and say, I'm sorry. Then get back up and say, pass the taters. And please, a roll. And put some butter on and put some jelly on that. Because God's not asking you to gravel in the dirt. He's just saying, get your heart right. And then make the tweaks. Start commencing to go toward it. Do something. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Shabba, blah, yabba, yabba, yabba. Whatever. Just start doing something. Yabba dabba do, whatever. Just start, you know, in your time in the car. And you know, I have to turn off Hannity in the afternoon sometimes when I'm in or Rush Limbaugh or whoever. And I got to turn them off and just, because sometimes you get caught up in the news and stuff, is what I'm saying. And excuse me if you don't like them, you know, pray for me, all right? Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And just build yourself up. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, we live in a day and age where people are constantly putting down others. And I have to be very careful in the when you're working with the world, because you want to say negative things. And then you have to be, you know, and I find myself apologizing. Lord, I'm sorry. Or I tell the person, I shouldn't have brought that up. Or especially when you're in this whole bidding process and whatever. It's just, you know, you want to say something, but... And there are certain things that you have to talk to your general contractor about, whatever, concerning the bids or whatever. But at the same time, I don't want to be somebody's downfall. I don't want to hurt somebody else. And I'm just going to believe the best, that if somebody didn't treat me right or they didn't give me the price I thought or whatever, I'm just going to believe the best in them. But it doesn't mean I'm going to use them. I'm just going to believe the best. Okay, I'm not stupid, all right? Moving right along. So whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And let's look what that word meditate means. It means to think or to calculate with the mind, to estimate, to conclude. So when we're meditating on God's word, really, let's look at Proverbs 23:7. You're all familiar with that, but if you're not, we're going to read it again. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart. So what you allow in the mind gate gets down into the spirit. What you think on, what you're calculating in your mind, what you're thinking on, eventually those things will get down in your spirit. So if you're thinking offended thoughts, and then it's going to start getting down inside of you. If you're saying things about other people and you know it, immediately, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You know, if it's 70 times 70, just, I'm sorry. I mean, we really ought to be more skilled that it's not 70 times 70 in one day. I'm just saying that we're covered, though. But at the same time, if you're having to say I'm sorry that many times in one day, then I would dare say that that's affecting and inhibiting your skill level to a great portion. You understand? So in that, we endeavor to go through our day without having to repent, without having to say I'm sorry. That's okay. You can go through a day and not make a mistake. You really can as you get more skilled in things. But right now, you know, just if you do make a mistake or you do get offended at somebody, get it right. Get it right with that person. If it affects somebody, get it right with them and get on your knees. I'm not saying you have to out in the middle of public, you know, but when you get home, get on your knees and say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, okay. Now, not every thought. Not every negative thought that comes against that comes to you that insinuates something negative about somebody is wrong unless you take it, all right? In other words, the enemy's bringing that to you. Just don't take it. Don't turn it over in your mind like Pastor Nancy says. When you turn it over in your mind and you say, oh, yeah, they said this. Oh, my goodness. Now, this is what happens because many times we're not getting enough rest. Many times we're eating too much sugar or what have you. Then we deal with feelings or anxiety comes. There's 100 different reasons that anxiety can come. You just have to choose not to react to it. Don't react to your hungry feelings. You get cranky many times. You understand when you haven't eaten all day. But that doesn't mean that the devil is won. It just means you need to go eat something. You may need to just go lay down. You understand? And we react to our reactions to the place where the enemy just had us just in a whirlwind of anxiety that's just getting worse because we're reacting to feelings. And when you get skilled in your faith, it doesn't matter what you're feeling. It doesn't matter if you're hurting. It doesn't matter. You are speaking to that situation. Now, you're not denying it. You're not in denial, but you're dealing with it. And you're telling the devil to get out of here and take your thoughts and get out of here right now in Jesus' name. You know, don't play with it by just keep turning over your mind. And if there's a pain in your ooga booga, well, take authority over it. Yeah, but I did something wrong last night. Well, okay, this is what you do. You got to deal with the ooga booga, right? Say, Father, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that last night. Was that hard? Yeah, but I don't feel like it. What does that have to do with it? Yeah, but I did that a couple days ago and I just did the same thing. Just say, I'm sorry. And believe that God forgives you. All right. And then just get back up and deal with that thing. Use your authority. But really what happens is the reason that your authority is weak and the reason that it's not really coming out of your mouth is because you're not feeding on the word. So what you may need to do is just go home and get in the word and meditate on who you are in Christ and read the healing scriptures. You got plenty of books in there by Pastor Jay and I and good men and women of God. You got the Bible. You understand? You can go to Isaiah. You can go to 1 Peter and start just confessing that over your body. And then faith rises up in your heart. Now, the devil, he'll come and say, yeah, but you just did this. Now I go, I'm forgiven for that. Yeah. Yeah, but you're going to do it tomorrow again. Shut up.
That's right.
And just remind him that you've got grace, that you're an overcomer, so shut up. Don't let the devil dictate your tomorrows. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter if you have visions of doing that thing. It doesn't matter. Just revel in your in Christ realities of who you are in Christ and that you're forgiven, and just continue to spend time in his word and exchange that condemnation really for conviction, where the Spirit can come to you and say something without you saying, "What? What'd I do?" You ever do that with your spouse? Honey, could you not put the cup on the, let's find something that I do. Honey, could you not put your stuff on the table here? And rather than come back and say, "Well, I have a desk." "I don't have a desk." "You do." Okay, I've said that before. And I had to come back. "I'm sorry, hon. I'm sorry. He put something in the bathroom." We got, two separate bathrooms there. "He put something in the bathroom that I had on the table in there, and I had it there for a long time. And I brought it back in, and I put it back on the table. I said, 'You have a desk. I don't.' I went back in the bathroom, and I got convicted." So it's in the bathroom now. I put it back in the bathroom until I'm finished, until I have a place for it. Because we're living, it's a nice apartment, but it's a little smaller. I don't have a desk and things like that. But anyway, move right along. I lost it. Okay, all right. You need to put a gatekeeper at the entryway of your mind. What you allow in the gateway of the mind, what you think on or meditate on, will get in the gateway of the heart. It'll get down into the heart. You understand? There's a gateway that goes there, though. And you can put somebody at the entrance of those gates. And really, that's your voice of authority. No. No. The devil cannot just put things in your heart. You have to allow him. It will get down into the heart and set a course of unrighteousness in the heart and mind. This will come out in actions. You understand? So if you're acting a certain way and you want to make that change, then start meditating on God's word. Start speaking it over your life. Faith will rise in your heart. And then you act on that. And eventually, you're going to be strong enough to get more skilled in saying no. You're going to be strong enough. But if we're just graveling in the dirt, if we're just yielding to that voice of condemnation, we will stay there for the rest of our life. And God wants us to understand, anyone here that has a child, if they fall once, of course, you just keep helping them up. As a matter of fact, even teenagers, they get up teenage years, it hurts you to see them falling. It hurts you to see them making wrong choices. But if they come to you and say, "I'm sorry, Mom and Dad," would you just push them down in the dirt? Of course not. So why would our Heavenly Father do that to us? He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to take hold of our righteousness in him. But we have to set the condemnation away from it. We have to push it away. We have to tell the enemy to take his thoughts and get out of here. And we've got to get skilled at looking at the word, speaking the word, and no matter what we feel like, no matter if we're feeling anxious or whatever. I mean, there are times I'm just driving and sometimes you feel like you're crawling out of your skin. Okay, what's going on here? And I used to react to that. I want you to understand something. I used to react that in a way to where years ago I went to a counselor, and I used to react in a way to where, well, it's because of the abuse. Now it's, I'm hungry, or I need to sleep, or I need more word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be careful Be careful not to get into the trap of holding on to your past. And every time you feel something, it's all about the past. It's all about what somebody's done. And really, it's the victim mentality. Okay? Be careful of that. Just know that the only reason that those things are coming to you, it could just be the devil talking to you. It could just be you need to go get a hamburger. Okay? It could be, somebody's like, yeah, thank you. You need to get a hamburger, right? Yeah, thank you. Okay. You may need some fries and a shake with that one. Just, maybe not every night. Okay. Moving right along. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who infuses strength into me. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If we make it a lifestyle, if we never give up, if we don't feel like we're doing what we need to, but we won't give up, we just keep getting back up, we keep speaking the word, there will be seasons in your life that you just feel like you're on the highest mountain ever, but then there could be a season in your life that's like, I feel like I'm in the valley, but do you go write a song like so many Christians do? I'm in the valley. No, just don't go by the feeling of it. Know that it could be a season of trials and tribulations, but choose to just endure in your faith. And if those trials and tribulations were able to take you out, okay, then just dust yourself off. Get back in the Word. Just keep coming to church. Don't stop coming to church. And just make the tweaks, and eventually you'll get strong enough to overcome that. But just make the changes. Those things that got you down in the first place, you know the changes to make. You know the changes to make. But it's not going to help anybody to, again, gravel in the dirt. And I guess Pastor Jay says, what's the word? It's not gravel. It's grovel. Not gravel. Grovel. Don't grovel in the dirt. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And really, I believe that is talking about condemnation or just any bondage that the enemy would try to bring on you, or maybe that's sickness and disease, maybe that's poverty and lack. You don't have to live that way. But certainly you don't have to. Now, let's go on down to verse 4. You don't have to live under bondage. You don't have to live in condemnation is what I meant to say. And condemnation just means a damnatory sentence. In other words, your heart is saying you've missed it and you're never going to make it. And the devil is saying you've missed it and you're never going to make it. The only way that you can change that is say, speak to that voice. And just say, no, I'm going to make the changes. Amen. Get down on your knees if you need to make a change and just get it right. And say, Father, I thank you I'm free. Yeah. And your own heart at times, because it's not being fed with the word, because you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, it will say, you're not going to make it, because that's what you've allowed to get down in. You understand? And it's just the voice that you've allowed to dominate you, and you have to cut the dude off that started the voice in the first place. And you really have to deal with him and say, shut up, devil, and get in the word and start speaking what the word says, and then your heart will start lining up. Just like peace. You've got peace in your heart, but in order for oppression, to push that oppression out, you've got to yield to peace. To push sadness out, you got to yield to joy. Amen. You may just have to do a jig in your house, just wherever you are, because you feel sad. And it doesn't mean that you can't cry at a funeral or something. I mean, people get this all out of whack, but you just can't stay there. You can't stay there. It'll get down inside of you. So anyway, let's look at verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. And we look at that word, you have fallen from grace. Really, that word fallen, and that's in verse 4, chapter 5 of Galatians, 5, 4. Fallen means be driven out of off of one's course, to lose, become inefficient, be cast, fail, fall away, fall from a position. So really, you've got the grace of God. You've got the very life of God, and these are synonymous terms, right? Grace, life, spirit, light. These are all synonymous terms for the Spirit of God who lives inside of us and gives us power and life and strength, infuses strength into us. But when that is inhibited, or you could say it's even severed from us being able to use it for benefit, when we are allowing condemnation, when we're not assured in our heart. Assurance is just a word for faith. It's just another word for trust. It's another word for confidence. And if we don't have confidence in God, or we don't have confidence in ourselves, then we will allow things to get in. We will allow sickness and disease. We'll allow poverty and lack. And you can live in this rat race, so to speak, for the rest of your life. But if we choose to stop thinking on, I've missed it, I can't believe I did that. No, there's one thing. You should have remorse for something. Understand? Not just fluff it off. But I've missed it. I've done this. And that gets down inside. And your heart's like, yeah, you missed it. You've done the wrong thing. Because that's what you've been meditating on. That's oppression that you've allowed down inside. And then you start taking it out on other people because, you know, it's everybody else's fault, right? No, it's really not. It's not everybody else's fault. Somebody may have done something to you, but they didn't make you stop yielding to joy. They didn't make you stop yielding to peace. They didn't make you stop. So in that respect, to get rid of condemnation, let's think on the right things. You know what? God loves me. He thinks I'm wonderful. Oh, my goodness. He thinks I'm amazingly made. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. And I'm beautiful. Amen. And you look in the mirror and you think, you know, your mind's thinking, you look terrible. But you say, you know what? I see good things about you. Yes. Now, you might want to fix yourself up a little bit. And, you know, it'll help what you see in the mirror. Amen. But moving right along, whatever helps, helps. Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror, it's like, okay, time for a shower. Nope. Rather than, okay, I could look in the mirror and think, you know, my hair's sticking up, you know, I got snot hanging down here. I got, and, I look terrible. Well, do something about it. You know, and do whatever you can. Well, I don't have a thing to wear. Well, just put something on and be happy about it. Okay. Because God wants to bring you better things. He wants it. But if we're crying about it, the assurance, you understand? Condemnation is getting down inside. And we're going to be living on welfare for the rest of our life. Okay. How'd I get there? How'd I get to welfare? So let's go to John 15. Well, just making it real. Amen. John 15, sheep food. Yes. Things to live by. Yes. We don't have to be a failure. We don't have to fail in this life. We can be successful. We can be prosperous. We can progress. Nobody else can take my joy. Nobody else can take my goods. You understand? But it's a choice. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and that word bear means to bring forth or to move something, to bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So sometimes we don't like the pruning process. But the washing of the water of the word is a wonderful process that will wash things off of us. And again, when we come to church or when you're listening to, you know, Pastor Jay on, in the vault, or you know, on the vault, or just listening to or reading the Word, and God shows you things, and that's light. And it may hurt a little bit. It's like, oh, yeah, I could change there. I could change. And the thing is, in order to bear fruit, you have to have a little remorse about it, but you don't live in remorse. You understand? Just get it right. And start speaking God's word and start. The remorse part is accepting that you've done wrong. And there are a lot of people in the body of Christ that don't want to admit that they're doing wrong. It's kind of greasy grace. I can just do whatever I want, and I don't have to admit when I'm wrong because God loves me anyway. Sure, He loves you, but that saddens the heart of the Father when we're twisting His word like that. So the remorse part is just getting it right, saying, hey, that was wrong. I missed it, so let's get back up. Let's keep on going. I'm not letting the enemy boot me out of church over condemnation. I'm not, you know. But I'm living wrong, Pastor. Make the tweaks. Start tweaking. Start getting in the Word. Somebody recently shared with me, and of course you have no idea who this is, so I'm not, you understand, no names, anything. I would never do that. They shared with me that they had been dealing with pornography for some years, but they were able to overcome it because they started reading their Bible. And they just started, and they started praying in the Spirit more. I'm like, thank you. I encouraged them. Did you jump on them? Of course not. I said, thank you. I did warn them. I said, now that will try to come back. You know, because that's been a stronghold in your life for several years. That will try to come back. And so you need to be accountable. You know, you need to share with, you know, whether that's a spouse or whether that's a parent, or, you know, share that with them. I've had an issue with this. I'm not dealing with it, but, or maybe you are dealing with it now, but you've been doing better. You understand? And, but the thing is really, and I told that person, but that needs to be completely eradicated out of your life. We believe in you. So I'm not preaching greasy grace here, but I'm letting you know that that's a good thing. You're reading your Bible, you're praying, but He's going to come and He's going to try to bring that back in, slip it back in, and don't allow condemnation, but be accountable and get back up. I'm not prophesying that you're going to yield to that again. I said, you don't have to. You can be completely free of that. I'm just saying, that's His trick. That's His deception. And then somebody yields, and then, well, I can't do this anyway. No, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and we can help you be completely, thoroughly, eradicatedly free from those things simply by giving the Word first place in your life and not allowing condemnation in, okay? It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So we started out with no fruit, but then we had fruit, and then we had more fruit, then we had much fruit. So why do we think that we can just go overnight to fruit, to much fruit? It's we've got to build the skill in our lives. And I would encourage you, rather than groveling in the dust over it, rather than crying about it, rather than, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do this, just simply get back up and say, okay, Father, I need some more fruit in this area. I need some fruit in this area. I'm sorry. And just get back up, wipe yourself off, go to church, get the Word, you know, meditate, put tapes in, pray in the Holy Ghost, whatever. And you're going to get stronger. You're going to get stronger against those trials. And let it come out of your mouth. You may want to say just the opposite. You may just, every cell in you is, I just want to, I just want to say, I can't do it. Don't say that. Say, I can do it. I can do all things. When you're here and we're singing the praise and worship, we're not just doing that. You know, the worship team's not just up there to look pretty. We're allowing ourselves to confess, to worship, and it's life-changing for us. Amen. All right. So we're almost finished here. I just wanted to read something. So we need to move inward fruit so the outward fruit can come forth. We need to move the inward fruit so the outward fruit can come forth. So we've got seeds inside, but in order for them to become fruit, like you've got joy seeds, you've got peace seeds, you've got faith seeds, but it's got, these need to grow. You want a good apple. You don't want to eat an apple when it's green necessarily, right? No. You want to wait until it's good and plump and it's just about ready to fall right off the tree. And it's nice and juicy, and you understand. But you don't get there overnight. You know, with our apple trees, I know Steve and Linda, they've been helping out some, giving Pastor Jay some information on the apples and different things. And Linda, I think you said the other day, it's looking really good, but you might want to prune it a little bit more this year. And, you know, we're thinking, but we want apples this year. But she said, if you do that, then it'll do a lot better next year. So it's a couple years that you may have to wait. Now, you understand, I'm not talking about, okay, you're going to wait 2 years and you just keep living in sin and, you know, having sex with somebody that you're not married to. And that, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that overall, the fruit in your life, you'll get much stronger in faith. You'll get much stronger in peace. You'll get much, I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life. And these things that have held you captive will get less and less and less and less and less and less. And all you really will see is God's goodness and who you are in Christ. But, you know, you're going to see the sun through the trees. You understand? You're going to get to the other side of it.